Welcome to WLRN Radio Theater, a monthly series of radio plays adapted from classic film scripts and performed at venues throughout South Florida. Tonight we present Double Indemnity, performed by the Arts Radio Network Theater Project at Arts Garage in Delray Beach.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers, the company that makes Lux soap, brings you the Lux Radio Theater. Tonight, we bring you Double Indemnity. I'm your producer, Mr. William Keeley. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. A year ago, I began a serial in a weekly magazine called Double Indemnity. And believe me, thereafter, I eagerly awaited each new installment. It was one of the most thrilling of the James M. Cain novels. And when Paramount Pictures brought it to the screen, I found the film even more exciting. Double Indemnity is a drama of intense emotion between two people whose infatuation leads them to murder and revenge. And as a study in suspense, I'm sure you'll find it entirely satisfying. Just as the ladies of our listening audience find our product, Lux Toilet Soap, entirely satisfying for beauty care. Especially these fall days. For throughout all the changes of weather, Lux Toilet Soap remains a favorite complexion care. Here is Act One of Double Indemnity. Downtown Los Angeles. The night watchman of an insurance company has just opened the door for one of the employees.
Working pretty late, aren't you, Mr. Neff?
Yeah, this can't wait till morning.
Nothing wrong, is there, Mr. Neff?
No.
You look kind of funny.
No, I'm fine. Thanks for letting me in.
That's okay, Mr. Neff.
Walter Neff walks unsteadily to his office. He wets a towel at the water cooler. He presses inside his coat to stanch a bullet wound and slumps at his desk. His hand reaches to a dictaphone transcribing machine and turns on the switch.
Memorandum to Barton Keyes. Claims Manager, Pacific All Risk Insurance Company. Dear Keys, I suppose you'll call this a confession. I just want to set you right about the Dietrichson case. You said it wasn't an accident, check. You said it wasn't suicide, check. You said it was murder, check. But you made one mistake, Keys, just one little mistake. You want to know who killed Dietrichson? Hold tight to that cheap cigar of yours, Keys. I killed Dietrichson. Yeah, I killed him. I killed him for money and a woman. I didn't get the money, and I didn't get the woman. Pretty, isn't it? Let me light my cigarette. It all began last May, around the end of May it was. I had a call to make, a renewal call on an automobile policy.
It's an insurance man. He wants Mr. Dietrichson.
How do you do? I'm Walter Neff, the Pacific All Risk Insurance Company.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Neff? I'm Mrs. Dietrichson.
How do you do, Mrs. Dietrichson?
That's all, Nettie.
Yes, ma'am.
It's about the renewal on the automobiles. I can't seem to contact your husband at his office.
Well, suppose we sit down and you tell me about it. My husband never tells me anything. I guess he's been too busy down at the Long Beach oil fields.
Well, maybe I could catch him at home some evening. It wouldn't take too long to clear up. We're writing a new kind of 50% retention feature in collision coverage.
You're a smart insurance man, aren't you?
I think so.
Doing pretty well?
It's a living.
You handle just automobile insurance or all kinds?
Well, just name it and I'll write it, Mrs. Dietrichson.
Accident insurance?
Accident insurance, I should say so. Oh, that's a honey of an anklet you're wearing there, Mrs. Dietrichson.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
There's something engraved on it, huh?
Just my name. Phyllis.
Phyllis. I think I like that.
But you're not sure.
I'd have to drive it around the block a couple times.
We're getting away from insurance, aren't we, Mr. Neff? Now, why don't you drop around tomorrow night about 8:30? He'll be home then.
Who?
My husband. You were anxious to talk to him, weren't you?
Well, I was, but I'm getting over the idea, if you know what I mean.
There's a speed limit in this state, Mr. Neff. 45 miles an hour.
How fast was I going, officer?
I'd say about 90.
Tomorrow night, then, around 8:30. Will you be there, too?
I usually am.
Same chair, same perfume, same anklet.
Well, I wonder if I know what you mean.
I wonder if you wonder. Good afternoon, Mrs. Dietrichson. I can still remember the smell of honeysuckle all along the street. How could I know that murder can sometimes smell like honeysuckle? Maybe you would have known, Keys, the minute she mentioned accident insurance. Then I went back to the office. They said you'd been yelling for me all afternoon.
Come in, Walter. Would you like to know about the Phillips case?
Phillips?
Yeah, you wrote a policy on his truck. His truck burned up.
Oh, yeah.
Here, look at this.
A claim waiver, huh?
Yep. Mr. Phillips suddenly decided to withdraw his claim.
You knew all along it was phony, huh?
My little man knew. My little man inside me knew. Every time one of those phonies comes along, ties me up in knots, you know? What kind of amateurs are we?
Wait a minute, Keys. Sure, I wrote that policy, but I said to have him thoroughly checked first.
Who's blaming you, sweetheart, huh? I'm sick and tired of just picking up after you fast-talking salesmen.
Okay, turn the record over. Let's hear the other side. You worry too much, Keys. You're too suspicious. You're so darn conscientious. You wouldn't even say today is Tuesday unless you looked at the calendar. And then you would check if it was this year's or last year's calendar. And then you'd make sure you get a copy of the World's Almanac calendar.
Now, that's enough from you, Walter. You better get out of here before I throw my pencil at you.
Yeah, I love you too.
Yeah? Well, I thought you'd like to know. We nailed another phony.
Back at my office, there was a message from Mrs. Dietrichson. My appointment had been canceled. She wanted me to come this Thursday afternoon instead. Phyllis. Phyllis Dietrichson. I was there, all right.
Oh, come in, Mr. Neff. I hope you didn't mind changing the appointment. Last night wasn't convenient.
That's okay. I was working on my stamp collection anyway.
I was just fixing some iced tea. Would you like a glass?
Unless you have a bottle of beer that's not working.
There might be some. Nettie! About those renewals, Mr. Neff. I talked to my husband.
Good.
He'll renew, all right. As a matter of fact, I thought he'd be here this afternoon.
No, but he's not.
No.
That's terrible.
Nettie! Nettie, can't you hear? Oh, I forgot. It's Thursday. The maid's day off.
Well, iced tea will be fine.
Lemon? Sugar?
Fix it your way. As long as the maid's day off, maybe there's something I can do for you, like running the vacuum cleaner.
Fresh.
I used to peddle vacuum cleaners. Not much money, but you learn a lot about life.
Well, I didn't think you'd learned it from a correspondence course, Mr. Neff.
Make it Walter.
All right. Walter. Tell me, how much commission do you make on this insurance?
20%. Why?
Well, I thought perhaps I could throw a little more business your way. My husband, I worry a lot about him in those oil fields. It can be very dangerous.
Dangerous? For an executive?
Oh, you don't know him. He's right down there with the drilling crews. It's got me worried sick.
You mean some dark night a Crown Block might fall on him?
Oh, please don't talk like that.
But that's the idea.
Accidents happen all the time. Don't you think he should be insured?
Well, sure.
Well, what kind of insurance could he have?
Enough to cover doctors and hospital bills, say $125 a week cash benefit, and he'd rate around $50,000 capital sum.
Capital sum? What does that mean?
Well, in case the accident is fatal. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Well, I suppose you have to think of everything in your business.
Why don't I talk to him about it?
You could try, but he's pretty tough going.
Yeah, they're all tough at first.
Well, he's got a lot on his mind. He doesn't seem to want to listen to anything except maybe a baseball game on the radio. Sometimes we sit here all evening and never say a word to each other.
Sounds pretty dull.
Walter, I want to ask you something. Could I get an accident policy without bothering him at all?
How's that again?
Well, it would make it easier for you, too. You wouldn't even have to talk to him. I could pay for it, and he'd needn't know anything about it.
Why shouldn't he know?
Because I know he doesn't want accident insurance. He's superstitious about it.
A lot of people are. Funny, isn't it?
Well, if there was a way to get it like that, all the worry would be over. See what I mean, Walter?
I think it's lovely. And then some dark, wet night, if that crown block fell on him.
What crown block? I don't know what you're talking about.
Or maybe a car backing him over. Or he could fall out of an upstairs window. Anything like that, as long as it's a morgue job.
Are you crazy?
Not that crazy.
What's the matter?
Look, baby, you can't get away with it. You want him to die, don't you?
That's a horrible thing to say.
What do you take me for? A guy that walks into a good-looking dame's front parlor and says, "Good afternoon, I sell accident insurance on husbands. You got one that's been around too long? Just give me a smile. I'll help you collect."
I think you're rotten.
I think you're swell, as long as I'm not your husband.
Get out of here!
You bet I'll get out of here. I'll get out of here, baby, but quick. I let her have her keys, straight between the eyes. She didn't fool me for a minute, not this time. I got hold of a red-hot poker, and the time to drop it was right before it burned my hand. But all the time I knew that I hadn't walked out on anything, that this wasn't the end. I knew sooner or later my door buzzer would ring, and I'd know who it was without even having to think.
Hello. You forgot your hat this afternoon.
Did I? How did you know where I live?
The phone book. It's raining.
Yeah, sit down. Your husband out tonight?
The oil fields. He phoned he'd be late. Oh, Walter, I must have said something that gave you a terribly wrong impression. You must never think anything about me like that.
Okay.
No, it's not okay. Not if you don't believe me.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to be nice to me like you were at first.
Yeah, something happened.
I know it has. It's happened to us. I feel as if he was watching me. Not that he cares. He keeps me on a leash so tight I can't breathe.
He's in Long Beach, isn't he? Relax.
You have a nice place here. Who takes care of it for you?
A cleaning woman comes in twice a week.
You cook your own breakfast?
I squeeze a grapefruit once in a while.
You're alone, huh? That sounds wonderful. You don't have to sit across the table and smile at him and that daughter of his every morning of your life.
Daughter?
That's right. You didn't meet Lola, did you? He thinks a lot more of her than he does of me.
Ever think about a divorce?
He would never give me one.
Why'd you marry him?
I wanted a home. Why is that so wrong? But that's not the only reason. His first wife was sick a long time, and I was her nurse. When she died, he was terribly broken up. I pitied him so.
But now you hate him.
Yes. He's just been awful to me. Every time I buy a dress or a pair of shoes, he yells his head off. He's always been mean to me.
So you lie awake in the dark and listen to him snore and get ideas.
Walter, I don't want to kill him. I never did. Not even when he gets drunk and slaps my face.
Only sometimes you wish he was dead.
Perhaps I do.
And you wish it was an accident, and you had that policy for $50,000. Is that it?
Perhaps that too. The other night, we drove home from a party. He was drunk again. When we drove into the garage, he just sat there with his head on the steering wheel and the motor still running. And I thought what it would be like if I didn't switch it off, just close the garage door and left him there.
I'll tell you what it would be like. We got a guy in our office named Keys. In 3 minutes, he'd know it wasn't an accident. In 10 minutes, you'd be sitting under the hot lights. In 30 minutes, you'd be signing your name to a confession.
But Walter, I didn't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Not if there's an insurance company in the picture. They know more tricks than a carload of monkeys. And if there's a death mixed up, you haven't got a prayer. They'll hang you as sure as 10 dimes will buy a dollar. And I don't want to hang, baby. So stop thinking about it, will you?
Oh, why did I come here?
So we just sat there, Keys. She started crying softly, like the rain on a window. Maybe she had stopped thinking about it, but not me. I couldn't. It all tied up with something I had been thinking about for years. You know how it is, Keys. In this business, you can't sleep for trying to figure out all the angles they could pull on you. And then one night, you get to thinking how you could crook the house yourself. And do it smart. because you know every trick in the book. And then suddenly the door buzzer rings and the whole setup is right there in the room with you.
Walter, I'd better leave. Will you follow me? Oh, I hate him. I loathe going back to him. You believe me, don't you?
Sure, sure.
I can't stand it anymore. What if they did hang me?
Well, they're not going to hang you.
It's better than going on this way.
They're not going to hang you because I'm going to help you do it.
Do you know what you're saying?
Come here. I say we're going to do it and we're going to do it right. And I'm the guy that knows how.
Walter, you're hurting me.
There isn't going to be any slip-up. Nothing sloppy, nothing weak. It's got to be perfect.
Yes.
Now, call me tomorrow, but not from your house. Watch your step every single minute. It's got to be perfect, understand? Straight down the line, baby.
Straight down the line. Good night, Walter.
That was it, Keys. The machinery had started to move. Nothing can stop it now. The first thing to do was fix Dietrichson with that accident policy. I knew he wouldn't buy, but all I wanted was his signature on an application. So I had to make him think he was signing without him knowing what he was signing. I wanted another witness besides Phyllis to hear me give the sales talk. A couple of nights later, I went to the house. Everything looked fine, except I didn't like the witness Phyllis had brought in. Dietrichson's daughter, Lola.
I told you I didn't want any accident insurance.
Now, look, Mr. Dietrichson, the only way you could protect yourself is...
Yeah. The next thing you'll tell me, I need earthquake insurance and lightning insurance.
That's right, honey. Why, if we bought all the insurance they tell us we need, we'd be broke all the time.
Look, what keeps us broke is you going out and buying 5 hats at a crack.
All right, well, Mr. Dietrichson, dollar for dollar, accident insurance is the cheapest coverage you can buy.
All I want is the renewal on that automobile insurance.
Well, just as you say.
Phyllis, do you mind if I go out?
Got something better to do, Lola?
Yes, I have. Father, is it all right if I run along? I'm going skating with Anne.
Anne, huh? Or is it really that Nino Zacchetti again?
Oh, Father, please.
It better not be. If I ever catch you with that
little... It's Anne Matthews. We're going ice skating. And if you don't mind, I'd rather not keep her waiting.
Okay. Go on.
Good night, Father. Good night, Mr. Neff.
Good night, Ms. Dietrichson. Glad I met you.
Thank you.
A great little fighter for her weight.
No, if you will sign these papers, Mr. Dietrichson, you will be covered until the new policies are issued.
Just so I'm covered when I drive up north.
He's a Stanford man, Mr. Neff. And he still goes to his class reunions in Palo Alto.
What's wrong with that? Can't I have him a little fun even once a year? Where do I sign?
On the bottom line, both copies, please.
How much are you taking me for?
I'll figure it up later. I can pick up your check at the office.
I think that's enough insurance for one evening, Mr. Neff.
Plenty. I'm going upstairs, Phyllis. Bring me a drink.
Good night, Mr. Dietrichson. And thank you.
All right. Walter?
Fine.
He signed it?
Sure, he signed it. That trip to Palo Alto, when?
End of the month.
He drives, huh?
He always drives.
Not this time. You're going to make him take the train.
Why?
Because it's all worked out for a train. Now listen, baby, there's a clause in every accident policy. Something called double indemnity. That means they pay double on certain accidents, the kind that almost never happen. Like, for instance, if a guy got killed on a train, they pay $100,000 instead of $50,000.
I see.
We're hitting it for the limit, baby. That's why it's got to be a train.
It's going to be a train, Walter. Just the way you want it. Straight down the line.
Lux Radio Theater presentation of Double Indemnity will return in just a moment. In the meantime, let's just imagine we're in the living room of an American home. A husband and wife are listening to the Lux Radio Theater. It's intermission time.
Oh, this is a marvelous play, Joe.
Sure is, but then I go for Gaynor anytime.
She is lovely.
Now, come to think of it, she reminds me of you a little. There's something about...
Oh, Joe, if I'm anything like Janet Gaynor, it's in our complexion. I take care of my skin the same way she does. With Lux toilet soap.
It's really that good, is it?
Good! It's the soap with active lather. It really gets your skin thoroughly clean.
thoroughly clean. What does that mean?
If you let dirt and stale powder and rouge stay on your skin, they work in and stop up your pores. That ruins the complexion and your pores get large. Haven't you heard of cosmetic skin?
Cosmetic skin? What's that?
Well, who is there that has it? Oh, Sally Hanford. You know how dull her skin always looks.
A pity she didn't know about the soap you use. One look at you ought to sell Lux soap to any girl.
Oh, shh! Here comes the second act.
We now continue with Double Indemnity. Earlier tonight, Walter Neff, insurance salesman, was shot and wounded. He was able to reach his office. There at his desk, he continues to talk into the office recorder. A message for a man named Keyes.
Well, Keyes, the first step was over. Phyllis and I had Dietrichson's signature on that application for accident insurance. I went out to my car. Waiting for me was Dietrichson's daughter, Lola.
I thought you might give me a lift, Mr. Neff.
Oh, sure. You like ice skating, huh?
I could take it or leave it.
Only tonight you're leaving it.
Yes, I am. Take me as far as Vermont and Franklin.
I'll be glad to. Who's waiting on the corner there?
Nino Zucchetti.
Is that the fellow your father doesn't want you to meet?
Nino's not what my father says at all. If Nino wasn't so hot-headed, if he only... I don't know why I'm telling you all this. Please, you won't say anything?
I haven't heard a word, Ms. Dietrichson.
Thanks, Mr. Neff. You're nice.
I saw her run up to her boyfriend. I found myself hoping he was right for her. She'll be needing someone there, because her father is a dead pigeon. Only a question of time, and not much time at that. Phyllis and I had to pick a place to meet, a safe place. We decided on that supermarket on Las Feliz Boulevard. She was to be there every morning around 11 o'clock sharp. I could run into her there, sort of accidentally on purpose.
I wanted to talk to you ever since yesterday.
Not so loud. Move over to the shelves. It's a busy day at the supermarket. Well, it's all set. The accident policy came through.
Give it to me. Nobody's watching now.
Can you get into the safe deposit box?
Yes, we both have keys.
Turn your head. Take something off the shelf. Put it in the cart.
You're nervous, Walter. I'm very calm.
Remember, you never saw that policy. You never even touched it.
Oh, I'm not a fool, Walter.
Okay, when is he leaving?
I've been trying to tell you the trip to Palo Alto is off. He isn't going.
What's happened?
He had an accident at the oil fields. His leg is broken. It's in a cast.
He broke his leg?
What do we do now, Walter?
Nothing. Nothing. We just wait. Walk around, will you? We're supposed to be shopping.
But we can't wait. I can't go on like this. What do you think would happen if you found out about this accident policy?
Nothing as bad as sitting in that death house.
Don't ever talk like that.
Well, don't let's start losing our heads.
It's not our heads. It's our nerve we're losing. Only it's so awful without you, Walter. It's like there's a wall between us.
I'm thinking of you every minute, baby.
Don't ever stop, Walter. Don't ever.
I let a full week go by, Keyes, and I didn't even try to see Phyllis again. I keep telling myself that maybe those fates they say watch over you had broken his leg to give me a way out. Then it was the 15th of June. You remember that date, Keyes? You were in my office.
I'll get it, Walter. Probably Norton looking for me. Hello? Yeah. Just a minute. It's for you. It's a dame.
Hello?
Is this Mr. Neff?
Well, yes.
Walter, I had to call you. It's urgent.
Well, I'm busy, Margie. I'll have to call you back.
You can't. I've only got a minute, Walter. He's going away tonight. On the train. He's on crutches. The doctor says he can go if he's careful. The change will do him good. It's wonderful. Walter, just the way you wanted it. On a train. Only with crutches, it makes it much better, doesn't it?
Yeah. Keyes, suppose I could see you in the office?
Oh, that's okay. Just tell the dame not to take all day.
Go ahead, Margie. Make it snappy.
Okay, it's the 10:15 from Glendale. I'm driving him there. Is it still that same dark street? The signal is 3 honks on the horn. Is there anything else?
What color did you pick?
Blue. Navy blue. And the cast is on his left leg.
Well, that suits me fine.
This is it, Walter. I'm shaking like a leaf. But it's straight down the line. Now for both of us. I love you, Walter.
I'll take care of everything. Goodbye, Margie.
The dame's chasing you again, Walter, or is it none of my business?
What if I told you it was a customer?
Margie, a customer. I bet she drinks from the bottle. I better see what Norton wants.
There you were, Keys. Right there when Phyllis called me. And those fates I was talking about had only been stalling me. Now they had thrown the switch and the time for thinking had all run out. I wanted my movements accounted for up until the last possible second. Foolproof alibis. I drove my car into the garage in the basement of my apartment.
Oh. Worst job, Mr. Neff. Sure, I have a couple other cars ahead of you.
Well, that's okay, Charlie. I'm not going out. I won't need it till morning.
Okay, Mr. Neff. It'll shine up for you in the morning.
Then I called Norton. I asked him some phony questions about liability rates. He lived in Westwood Keys, a toll call. Then there would be a record of it. I changed into my navy blue suit, the same color Dietrichson would be wearing. Then I waited for Norton to call me back with the figures. Then I stuffed a hand towel and a roll of adhesive into my pocket so I could fake something that looked like a cast on a broken leg. Next, I stuck a card in the telephone box. If someone had called me, the cards would fall down if the bells rang. That way I would know if I had a phone call or a visitor while I was away. I did the same thing for the door buzzer. I left my apartment by the fire service stairs and walked all the way to the Dietrichson house. It was easy getting into the garage. I got in back of their car and laid there on the floor and waited. Finally, they came out. The car started. For a long time, they didn't say a word.
You're pretty quiet. Leg bothering you?
No more than usual.
Remember what the doctor said. If you get careless, you might end up with a shorter leg.
So what?
It makes you feel pretty good to get away from me, doesn't it?
For 3 days? Hey, how come you're taking this street?
What's wrong with it?
You shouldn't have turned. This is the wrong street. What'd you turn here for? What are you blowing that horn for? Answer me. I said, why on...
Dietrichson was dead. That part was over. She kept driving around until I told her to head to the station.
Everything all right, Walter? Did you cover him with a robe?
Yeah, we can get out.
I'll take care of the red cap and the conductor. I'll tell them to let you alone, that you don't like to be helped. Ready?
Yeah.
Don't worry, Walter. I'll leave as soon as the train leaves. Straight down the highway as far as the refinery, then I turn left onto the dirt road to the railroad tracks.
You'll have plenty of time. No speeding. You don't want any cops stopping you with him in the back.
Walter, we've been through this so many times.
I'll drop off the train as close to the spot as I can.
There's a red cap coming.
This your train, lady?
Car 9, section 11. Just my husband going.
Yes, ma'am. This way, please. On the bus!
The train was a few miles out of Glendale. I hobbled back to the observation platform. I didn't have much time. Only I find I wasn't alone.
Can I help you, mister? Oh, broke a leg, huh?
Yeah. Just thought I'd like to see what it was like out here.
Can I get you a chair?
No, thanks. I could manage fine.
Going far?
Palo Alto.
I'm going all the way to Medford, Oregon. My name's Jackson.
Uh-huh.
You looking for something, mister?
Dietrichson. Oh. Just my cigar case. I guess I left it in my coat back in my car. Maybe I could find a porter.
Well, you just sit putting you where you are, Mr. Dietrichson. I'll be glad to get them for you. What car?
It's car 9, section 11, dark gray top coat.
Be right back, Mr. Dietrichson.
I stayed in the shadows. Jackson never did get a good look at my face. But there was no time to think about him. I climbed over the railing and dropped off.
Walter, are you all right? You're not hurt?
No, not a scratch.
Can you see the car down there?
Yeah, I can see it.
Can you manage him alone?
Yes.
I'll walk down the road just a little, just in case, okay? I'll wait for you.
I carried the body to the tracks. As we drove back, we went over once more what she was to do at the inquest and about the insurance when that came up.
Yes, Walter, yes, I know what to do. Do you think I'd go all to pieces now that it's over? I said I would help you, Walter. Maybe now you'll believe me.
Not a nerve, Keys. Not even a tear. Not even a blink of the eyes. She dropped me off a block away from my apartment house.
We better not see each other for a while, darling. Oh, it's going to be awful.
We can meet in the market on Thursdays.
Walter!
Well?
Are you going to leave me just like that? Aren't you going to kiss me? It's straight down the line, isn't it? I love you, Walter.
That was all there was to it, Keys. Perfect, every detail. And yet, as I walked down the street, it suddenly came over me that everything would go wrong. It sounds crazy, Keys, but it's true, so help me. I couldn't hear my own footsteps. It was the walk of a dead man. The next day was worse, when the story broke in the papers and the day after that. But I knew you had started digging into it. Then Norton, the supervisor, wanted to see me.
Sit down, Walter. About that Dietrichson case.
Yeah, Mr. Norton, anything wrong?
We had him insured, Walter. It's going to cost us a lot of money. That's always wrong.
What about the inquest?
His wife and daughter made the identification. Verdict, accidental death.
What are the police figure?
That he got tangled up in his crutches and fell off the train. They're satisfied. It's not their money.
Can I come in?
Well, did you find him, Keys? That Jackson fella?
Yeah, I just talked to him in Medford, Oregon.
Who's Jackson?
The last man who saw Dietrichson alive.
And there's not much he can tell us either.
Well, that's fine, isn't it? Great piece of salesmanship when we sold Dietrichson that policy.
Now, there's no sense pushing Walter around. Is he supposed to know if a guy's going to fall off a train?
Fall off? Are we sure Dietrichson fell off?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Not even one of those interesting little hunches of yours?
Nope. Not even a hunch.
I'm surprised, Mr. Keys, because I've formed a very definite opinion. I know it was not an accident.
Not an accident?
Well, you seem a bit surprised, Walter. But what about you?
Me? You got the ball, Mr. Norton. Let's see you run with it.
All right. Watch.
Yes, Mr. Norton.
You can send her in now. There's a widespread feeling that just because a man has a big office, he must be an idiot. I'm having a visitor. I want you both to stay and watch me handle this.
Mr. Norton, this is Mrs. Dietrichson.
This was it. This was the finish. My hands shook so much I had to put them in my pockets. Who'd give it away first, Phyllis or I? He knew. Norton said he knew.
And, Mr. Neff.
How do you do?
You know why we asked you to come here, Mrs. Dietrichson?
All I know is this: your secretary made it sound very urgent.
Your husband was insured. He'll probably find the policy among his personal papers.
His safe deposit box hasn't been opened yet.
Meanwhile, I'm afraid we're not at all satisfied with the report of the inquest.
I don't know what you mean.
Frankly, we suspect suicide. Now, you said at the inquest your husband had no worries of any kind.
Yes. Yes, I said that.
Well, yet only a short time ago, he takes out an accident policy and tells you nothing about it. Why? Because he doesn't want his family to suspect what he intends to do.
Do what, Mr. Norton?
Commit suicide. In which case, Mrs. Dietrichson, this company is not liable. Now, we could go to court, you know.
No, I don't know anything. I don't even know why I came here.
I didn't say we want to go to court. What I suggest is a settlement of some kind.
Don't bother, Mr. Norton. When I came in here, I had no idea your company owed me money. You told me you did. Then you told me you didn't. Now you tell me you want to pay me a part of it, whatever it is. You want to bargain with me at a time like this? I don't like your insinuations about my husband, and I don't like your methods. In fact, I don't like you, Mr. Norton. Goodbye.
Well, you sure carried the ball, Mr. Norton.
Let her go to court. We'll prove it was suicide.
Oh, can we? Mr. Norton, the first thing that struck me was that suicide angle, only I dropped it in the waste paper basket just 3 seconds later. You ought to take a look at the statistics on suicide sometime, huh? You might learn a little something about the insurance business.
Mr. Keyes, I was raised in the insurance business.
Then it's time you realize that this company's going to pay Mrs. Dietrichson $100,000. Come on, Walter, let's get back to work.
I could have hugged you right then and there, Keyes. You were the only one we were really scared of, and instead you were almost playing on our team. That night I could feel the ground under my feet again. That $100,000 was as safe for Phyllis and me as if we had it in the bank. Hello.
Hello, darling. Everything all right?
Sure, everything is fine. You were wonderful in Norton's office.
I felt so funny. I wanted to look at you the whole time.
How do you think I felt? Where are you now?
At the drugstore, just a block away. Can I come up?
Okay, but be careful. Don't let anyone see you.
Hello, Walter.
Keyes.
What's the matter? I know, you weren't expecting me.
No, it wasn't. What's on your mind?
What are you so nervous about?
Who says I'm nervous?
Forget it. I guess it's me. I got the jumps. That Dietrichson case. You know, Walter, there's something fishy about it.
Like what?
I don't know. But right now, I'll swear that it wasn't suicide, and it wasn't an accident either. Well, what else is left?
You mean somebody... What are you trying to tell me, Keyes?
Go to the door. You got company.
What about Dietrichson? If it wasn't an accident...
What are you yelling for? You want me to go to the door?
Keyes, wait. I'll get it. Keyes!
We'll hear Act 3 of Double Indemnity in just a moment. We're delighted to have with us tonight the well-known musical comedy star of stage and screen, Miss Benet Venuta. Welcome to the Lux Radio Theater, Miss Venuta.
Thank you, Mr. Keeley.
Now, I understand you're appearing with Betty Hutton in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's new Technicolor musical, Annie Get Your Gun.
And I think it was the most exciting experience I've ever had. Betty is certainly the girl to play Annie Oakley in the screen version of Irving Berlin's stage hit.
And, of course, the picture has the famous Irving Berlin tunes from the show.
Uh-huh. There's no business like show business and doing what comes naturally and many others.
At the preview, the audience came out as thrilled as though they'd intended a Broadway opening.
And at the same preview, feminine fans discovered a new romantic singing star when they saw Howard Keel as Frank Butler.
And don't forget Louis Calhern as Buffalo Bill and Edward Arnold as Pawnee Bill.
Weren't they wonderful?
They were indeed.
But this will interest you, Mr. Keeley. I know the whole cast feels that much of the credit for the picture should go to George Sidney for his fine direction.
I agree. And I'm sure everyone at MGM's Annie Get Your Gun was charmed by Betty's high-spirited beauty. I'll wager that when they saw you and Betty, they said, what lovely Lux complexion.
Oh, thank you. Those of us who have camera close-ups to face give our skin the best care we know. Mr. Keeley, both Betty and I are devoted to our daily Lux soap facials.
Those facials really work, don't they?
Yes, it's such quick, easy care, but it certainly does the trick.
A recent test by skin specialists proved that. In actually 3 out of 4 cases, complexions became softer, smoother in just a short time. Thank you, Miss Benet Venuta, for being here tonight. I think women everywhere will welcome your beauty tip on gentle, protecting Lux soap care. Now, here's a suggestion. Your store is featuring Lux toilet soap now. Be sure to put both the complexion and the big bath size on your shopping list. See what quick new loveliness this fragrant white soap will give your skin. Remember, 9 out of 10 screen stars use Lux toilet soap. We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Return to Act 3 of Double Indemnity. Later that night, alone in his office, Walter Neff struggles against the pain of his wounds as he tries desperately to finish relating a sordid procession of facts into the office recorder. A memorandum to Mr. Keyes.
You went to the door, didn't you, Keyes? You opened it, and I stood there a few feet behind you on an edge of a cliff. Huh. You were pushing me over.
Well, that's funny. Nobody here.
Nobody?
Well, look for yourself. Must have come to the wrong door, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what were you trying to tell me about Dietrichson?
Dietrichson. Now, Dietrichson had accident insurance, right? Now he broke his leg. Now, why didn't he put in a claim? Why?
Well, maybe he didn't have time.
Or maybe he just didn't know he was insured. No, that couldn't be. You delivered the policy to him, didn't you?
Sure, out at the oil fields.
The guy takes out an accident policy that's worth $100,000. 2 weeks later, he's killed by falling off an observation platform. Now, do you know what the mathematical chances of that happening are, Walter? Hmm? About one in a billion. I'm telling you, Walter, something has been worked on us.
Murder? All right, who?
That wide-eyed dame who just doesn't know anything about anything. Mrs. Dietrichson.
You're crazy, Keyes. She wasn't even on the train.
Oh, I don't claim to know how it was worked or who worked it, but I know that it was worked.
Give me some time to think it over.
Yeah. I'm sorry to bother you, Walter. I don't make much sense, do I?
You just don't seem to have anything to go on.
No, nothing at all. Well, see you in the morning. Good night, Walter.
5 minutes later, Phyllis Dietrichson was in my apartment. It was Phyllis, all right, who came to my door while you were there. But she heard us talking. She ducked back into the elevator before you opened the door. Luck and brains, Keyes. Pretty tough combination to beat.
I mustn't stay long, Walter. How do we know he won't decide to come back? Just tell me how much he knows.
Nothing, just a hunch.
But he can't prove anything, can he?
Not if we're careful. Not if we don't see each other for a while.
For how long a while?
Well, until all this dies down. You afraid, baby?
Yes, I'm afraid. But not of Keyes. I'm afraid of us. We're not the same anymore. We did it so we could be together. But instead of that, it's pulling us apart. Isn't it, Walter? And you don't really care whether we see each other or not.
Now, shut up, baby. Shut up and come here. Still think I don't care?
No, darling. Darling.
Next day at the office, I had a visitor, Keyes. Remember Dietrichson's daughter? Well, here she was again with something big on her mind.
Mr. Neff, but I'm not. I have the same awful feeling I had once before, when my mother died.
When your mother died?
We were up at Lake Arrowhead 6 years ago, last winter. My mother was very sick with pneumonia. One night, I found her delirious with fever. All the blankets were on the floor, and the windows were wide open. Then the nurse came into the room. She didn't say a word, but there was a look in her eyes that I'll never forget. 2 days later, my mother was dead. Do you know who that nurse was?
Who?
Phyllis. I tried to tell my father, but he wouldn't listen to me. 6 months later, she married him. I tried to forget about it. But now it's all back again. Now that something has happened to my father,
You're not making sense, Lola. Your father fell off a train.
Yes. And 2 days before, Phyllis was in her room in front of a mirror, pinning a black veil to her hat as if she couldn't wait to see how she would look in mourning.
Look, you've had a pretty bad shock. Aren't you just imagining things?
She did it. She did it for the money. Only she's not going to get away with it, because I'm going to tell everything I know.
Lola, who else have you told this to?
No one.
Phyllis?
Of course not. I've moved out of the house. I've I've taken a little apartment.
You haven't told that boyfriend of yours.
Nino? I'm not seeing him anymore. We had a fight.
So you just sit in that little apartment of yours and look at the four walls, huh?
Yes, Mr. Neff. But I do a lot of thinking about Phyllis.
I took Lola out to dinner. I'd have to cheer her up. I'd have to make sure she wouldn't drop that dynamite about Phyllis to anyone else. But I had no chance to talk to Phyllis. You were watching me like a hawk, Keys. The next day you sent for me.
I got it, Walter. I got it. All wrapped up in tissue paper. Diedrichson was murdered, and I can tell you how.
Go ahead, Keys. I'm listening.
First of all, Diedrichson was never on the train. He was killed somewhere else, and then put near the tracks by the wife and somebody else. Then the somebody else took the crutches and went on the train posing as Diedrichson.
Now, wait a minute. How can you be so sure?
Oh, now, let's see. Let's see what we got in the way of proof. The only one who really got a good look at this supposed Diedrichson is that Jackson guy from Oregon. Open the door. Open the door, Walter, and tell Jackson to come in, will you?
Jackson's here.
Yeah. Tell him to come in.
Mr. Jackson, will you come in, please?
Now, Mr. Jackson, did you study those photographs of Mr. Diedrichson?
It's not the same man, Mr. Keys. No, sir. The man in these photographs is not the same man I saw on that train.
There you are, Walter. There's your proof. Oh, this is Mr. Neff, one of our salesmen, Mr. Jackson.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Mr. Neff.
Now, I'd like you to describe the man that you saw on the train.
Oh, 10 or 15 years younger than the man in these photos. Of course, it was pretty dark, and he kept turning his back to me. Just the same, I'm positive.
Well, thank you, thank you. Now, we may need you again if the case comes to court. You understand?
The expenses paid again?
Yes, of course. I'll sign a voucher now. It'll only take a moment.
Ever been up in Oregon, Mr. Neff?
What? No, I haven't.
That's funny. I keep looking at you like I met you somewhere.
Here you go. That ought to cover everything.
Well, that's mighty white of you, Mr. Keys. And anytime you need me, you know.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Goodbye. Well, there it is, Walter. And pretty soon we'll know who the somebody else is.
Will we?
Oh, they've got to meet. They've committed murder. They're stuck with each other. They're on a trolley ride, only it's a one-way trip, and the last stop is the cemetery. Now, you see this policy?
Dietrichson's policy?
Yeah. The wife just put in a claim. Well, I'm going to throw it right back at her.
I left the office and informed Phyllis from a public booth. We met in the market an hour later.
Why did you call me, Walter? What's the matter?
Everything. Keys is rejecting your claim. He's sitting back with his mouth watering, waiting for you to sue. He wants you to sue, but you're not going to.
What's he got to stop me?
Well, he's got it all figured out.
Well, if he rejects the claim, I have to sue.
Then you'll be in court for a lot of other things, such as you and the first Mrs. Diedrichson.
What about me and the first Mrs. Diedrichson?
The way she died, and about the mourning veil you were trying on 2 days before...
Lola! You've seen Lola!
Sure, I've seen her. Trying to make sure she doesn't yell her head off about what she knows.
She's been putting on an act for you, crying all over your shoulder, that lying
keep
little...
Keep her out of this, Phyllis. Remember, you're not going to sue.
Because you don't want the money anymore, even if you could get it. Because Lola made you feel like a heel all of a sudden.
It isn't the money anymore, it's our necks.
You're not fooling me, Walter. It's because of Lola, what you did to her father. You can't take it that she might find out someday, and you can't take it.
I said leave her out of it.
It's me I'm talking about. I don't want to be left out of it.
It's just we can't go through with it, that's all.
We have gone through with it. The tough part is all behind us. We just have to hold on now and not go soft inside and stick together close the way we started out.
The police may be watching.
Then let them get an eyeful. I loved you, Walter, and I hated him, but I wasn't going to do anything about it, not until I met you. You planned the whole thing. I only wanted him dead.
Yeah, and I was the one that fixed him so he was dead. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, nobody's pulling out. We went in it together and we're coming out together. It's straight down the line for both of us. Remember?
Yeah, I remembered. Just like I remember what you told me, Keys. The last stop is the cemetery. I guess that was the first time I ever thought of Phyllis that way. Dead, I mean. And how things would be if she was dead. I saw Lola a lot that week. One night we drove down to the beach. All of a sudden she began to cry.
Nino, Walter. Nino.
I thought you weren't seeing him.
I wouldn't tell anybody but you. They killed my father together. Nino and Phyllis. He helped her do it. I know he did.
What makes you so sure?
I've been following him. He's been to the house to see her, night after night. Maybe he was going with me just for a blind the night of the murder.
You promise not to talk that way anymore.
Or maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe it's all in my mind.
Sure, it's all in your mind.
I still love him, Walter. I do love him. I do.
Zecchetti. Phyllis and Zecchetti, this is what I couldn't figure. I couldn't come close to it. But the real brain twister came today. You sprang it on me, Keys, after office hours, when you caught me down in the lobby of the building.
Well, hang on to your hat, Walter.
Yeah? For what?
The Dietrichson case just busted wide open. The guy showed up. The guy that helped her do it.
So you were right all along.
Yeah, yeah. And she filed suit against us to collect the $100,000. Well, that's okay by me. When we get into that courtroom, I'm gonna tear it to pieces. Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
I sure would like one, Keys, but I have a date.
What, somebody better looking than me? What, that Margie dame? I still think she drinks from the bottle.
I went back to the office. I was scared stiff. Maybe you were playing cat and mouse with me. Maybe you knew all along that I was the somebody else. That's what I had to find out. And I thought I knew where to look. In the desk, the cylinder from the office recorder. The confidential message you dictated to the boss, all ready for the girl to type out in the morning. I put the cylinder on the machine and listened.
Dear Mr. Norton, with regard to your proposal to place Walter Neff under surveillance, I disagree absolutely. I've known Neff intimately for 11 years, and I personally vouch for him without reservation. The man we want is Nino Zecchetti. We've definitely established connection between Zecchetti and Phyllis Dietrichson, as indicated in detail in the attached file. I strongly urge that this whole matter be turned over to the district attorney.
I telephoned Phyllis. I told her I had to see her that night. It was a hard sale. She was afraid of you, Keys.
Nobody's watching the house.
I know. 11 o'clock, okay?
11 o'clock. The lights will all be out. I'll leave the front door unlocked.
Okay.
Goodbye, Walter.
And then for the first time, I saw a way to get clear of the whole mess I was in. And of Phyllis, too. What I didn't know is she had plans of her own.
In here, Walter. Can you see?
Yeah. Hello, baby. Anybody else in the house?
No, nobody.
I just came to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Where are you going?
You're the one that's going.
Suppose you stop being funny. Let's have it, whatever it is.
A friend of mine's got a theory. He says when two people commit a murder, they have to go on riding together until the end of the line. And the last stop is the cemetery.
Well, maybe he's got something there.
Only I've got another guy to finish my ride for me. Nino Zecchetti.
Really?
It's been you and that Zecchetti guy all along, hasn't it?
No, no, that's not true.
It doesn't matter now. The point is, Keys believes Zecchetti is the guy he's been looking for. He'll have him in the gas chamber before he knows what happened.
And me, Walter? What's happening to me all this time?
Don't be silly. You helped him do the murder. That's what Keys thinks, and what's good enough for Keys is good enough for me.
Well, maybe it's not good enough for me, Walter. Maybe I don't go for the idea. Maybe I had Zecchetti here so they won't get a chance to trip me up. So we can get that money and be together.
That's cute. Say it again.
He came here the first time just to ask where Lola was. I made him come back. I was working on him. He's a crazy sort of guy, quick-tempered. I kept hammering into him that she was with another man so he'd get into one of his jealous rages. And then I'd tell him where she was. And you know what he'd have done to her, don't you, Walter?
Yeah, I believe you. It's just rotten enough.
We're both rotten, Walter. Is what you got cooked up for tonight any better?
The window's open. Mind if I close it?
Yes, Walter. It's you or me, isn't it?
What else can I do?
So, you had a gun all the time. Better try again.
No, thanks. Take the gun.
I think I will. Why don't you shoot me again? Don't tell me it's because you've been in love with me all this time.
No, I never loved you, Walter. Not you or anybody else. I used you, just as you said. That's all you ever meant to me. Until now. I didn't think anything like that could ever happen to me.
I'm sorry, baby, but I'm not buying.
I'm not asking you to buy. Just hold me close, Walter. Hold me close.
Goodbye, baby.
Walter, no!
I killed her, Keys. I killed Phyllis. But maybe her aim hadn't been so bad after all. I felt funny, lightheaded and blurry. But I made it here, Keys, all the way to the office. It's almost 4:30 now, Keys. It's cold. Keys, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to be the one to tell Lola, kind of gently, before it breaks wide open. Yes, and I'd like you to look after her and that guy, Zacchetti, so he doesn't get pushed around too much. As for me...
As for what, Walter?
Hello, Keys. Up early, aren't you? What are you doing here?
The night watchman called me, Walter. Said you left a trail of blood.
I wouldn't be surprised. How long have you been standing over there?
Long enough.
Now I suppose I get the big speech. Go ahead, let's have it.
You're all washed up, Walter.
Thanks, Keys. That was short anyway.
I'm going to call a doctor.
What for? So I can walk under my own power into the gas chamber?
Something like that, Walter.
Look, Keys, I've got a different idea.
Yeah?
Suppose you went back to bed and didn't find these cylinders till tomorrow morning. Would you do that for me, Keys?
Give me one good reason.
I need 4 hours to get where I'm going.
You're not going anywhere, Walter.
You bet I am. I'm going across the border. How's this, Keys? Up on my own 2 feet.
Walter, you haven't got a chance.
Just watch me.
You'll never make the elevator.
So long, Keys.
Hello? Send an ambulance to the Pacific Building on Olive Street. Yeah, it's a police job. How you doing, Walter?
I'm fine. Only somebody moved the elevator a couple miles away.
They're on their way.
You know why I didn't figure this one out, Keys? Because the guy you were looking for was too close. He was right across the desk from you.
Closer than that, Walter.
Yeah. I love you too.
You've been listening to WLRN Radio Theater. Join us on Sunday, February 14th at 7 p.m. for the romantic love story, A Star is Born. This is WLRN, where South Florida tunes in to the arts.